This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Second hour of the program. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio here tonight is Ian,
Jay,
and Matt.
We're going to get back into your phone calls and thoughts. You can bring up whatever you want. And then we're going to find out what's been going on outside of banks in Nigeria in the last couple of weeks, especially within the last few days. Things are getting crazy out there, and we'll explain what's been happening and whether or not this could be coming to a bank near you in the United States.
If it's bad for the bank, I hope it comes to
it. It's quite bad for the banks. Yeah, like smashing the frontage, destroying windows, destroying ATM machines.
There's no reason to do that.
Well, maybe there is.
I mean, the banks are the biggest criminals ever.
Yeah, but the destruction of the actual building itself doesn't make any sense. Just
people are pissed, and we'll explain why coming up here in a moment. Let's go first to Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. Go ahead, Dave.
One of the government watchdogs over at forum.shiresociety.com. Is
forum.shiresociety.com. You kind of cut out a moment there. I don't know if you got a good signal.
Yeah. I guess he went to a King City Council meeting on the 8th, and he witnessed something that was probably routine, but it probably shouldn't be so routine, and that is an asset forfeiture.
Ooh, okay. Whoa. Okay.
So what they did, apparently the police came in and said, we have the $12,000 we seized from a drug suspect, and we want to give it to the town, you know, something like that. And they unanimously, of course, voted to take the money.
Of course they did.
And
what happens if they don't take the money? Do the cops actually give it back to the people they stole it from?
I bet they don't.
I suspect it goes to like the state budget or something like that.
Whose name is on the money? That's who owns it.
So whoever the victim is.
Oh, the Federal Reserve. That's their money. Those are their
notes. I see what you mean.
They're not yours.
Go ahead, Dave.
So he's calling for like a letter writing campaign or something to make an issue out of this. I don't think the city council would pay much attention to the letters, but at least it's something. Better than nothing. It would just be I like that idea of making an issue out of it.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Like you said, it's not going to change anything at all because they're, you know, as we know, the Keene City Council, just like any city council probably anywhere, will do whatever it is the police want them to do. I mean, it doesn't matter the fact that there's been mega protests in the last few years. The George Floyd thing, of course, led to a huge protest in downtown Keene, the largest I'd ever seen in the, you know, almost two decades, not quite, that I've lived here. I've never seen Central Square packed like I did for the Black Lives Matter event, but the politicians just pandered to it, you know?
Wait a minute. I think the Black Lives Matter one, that was the one where they brought a ton of people in from out of town to do that, right?
That was the allegation that that you made. I presume that could
that
be
was
true.
So I asked people, where they were from, and the one little girl said, Keene, New Hampshire. It's like it wasn't necessary to say the whole thing. You could just say Keene and... So it was kind of clear that they weren't from there.
No, I get it, but still it counts. I mean, there's still people in the square. Not everybody's from Keene when we have an event either. Some people come from Manchester.
Yeah, okay. No, that was kind of fraudulent. Like, I think they were chartering buses of people from out of town to come.
It's an interesting theory. But regardless, it still was more people in Central Square than I'd ever seen. But it didn't matter to what the town council thought. I mean, some of the politicians were out there politicianing, you know, politicking and all that, and trying to get brownie points. And it doesn't matter because they still support the police. They supported the police when they got the Bearcat. I mean, you want to talk about a pushback, Dave? It was during the Bearcat situation in Keene. It was 2011 when that happened, or somewhere around that time frame. It's documented in the Derek Jay's Victimless Crime Spree movie. And there was tremendous pushback. I mean, there's no way that an online campaign like what you're talking about, I'm not saying people shouldn't write their city councilor or whatever, but everyone was doing it when it came to the Bearcat. For listeners that don't know, the Bearcat is a tank, basically. It's an attack truck, as they call it, a counterattack truck. It's an armored personnel carrier for the police.
And it's a piece of junk.
Well, it costs $300,000 for that piece of junk, but they like it. And the federal government was handing out these, checks, basically. It's like, hey, we'll give you $300,000. You get this this tank. You have to keep it gassed up. You got to do the oil changes. You got to make sure you, being the taxpayers of Keene or any given town, you got to take care of this thing. And then whenever you want to take it and run it through the front door of a free stater like this studio or our friend Nobody who was living next door when he got his window smashed in by the Bearcat with a battering ram on it. By the way, first time it's ever been used for that after a decade was here in this building. But it was the taxpayers, of course, have to keep do the upkeep. And then whenever the feds want to just roll into town and say, yeah, we're going to use that Bearcat, that's exactly what they get to do. So it's basically it's having local taxpayers pay for their equipment so the feds can just come in and use
borrow it
anytime they want to, whether it's the DEA, whether it's the FBI. Go ahead, Dave.
I must beg to differ with regard to this idea that it doesn't make any difference. It does make a difference. In fact, the biggest difference is the difference between zero and one. Last week, there was basically zero opposition to this asset forfeiture. And if next week there was a small amount of opposition from one person, that would actually be an important difference. You just have to make an issue out of these things. And as long as everyone's talking about it, we win.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it's going to hurt, but man, it's hard to have any kind of belief that it will actually win anything. I mean, the Bearcat got voted in. Now, there were three people in the city council that did vote against it. So it wasn't a unanimous vote, but it was overwhelming in favor of the police. And that was, there was 90%. One city councilor said that 90% of the people that were contacting them were against this Bearcat. So it wasn't like it was close amongst what the people of the area were thinking. Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, non-party affiliated people, all kinds of people were reaching out to the city councilors on this, and they were saying, don't do this. This is militarizing small-town police. We're against this. People from across the political spectrum, and it didn't make a damn bit of difference in the end.
Actually did achieve some things over the Bearcat. They achieved a lot of publicity.
That's true.
Achieved those three votes, and I bet you the city council has been more cautious about using the Bearcat than it would have been otherwise.
Well, I mean, that's speculation. I mean, they certainly used it against us 2 years ago when they raided this house, and they used all
hate you.
Well, they used Matt as the excuse. Oh, well, he owns guns. Has he ever used a gun in a legal way? No. Does he own his guns legally? Yes. But he owns guns, so we got to roll the Bearcat in. Yep. Bring in the drones. Throw the flashbangs.
Yep.
Throw the smoke grenades. Sorry. We need 50 guys.
Sorry about your house, Ian.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Dave. I do appreciate the call tonight, man.
But
oops.
Well, anyway. I wanted to mention something to Dave, but that's all right.
Sorry.
He's gone. I don't know if he'll be listening here.
He might be.
I'll just go with it. So he interviewed Tulsi Gabbard a couple years ago, and he gets, he says, hey, right to bear arms, what do you think about gun rights? And Tulsi says, well, we need universal background checks. Mm-hmm. And and Dave says to her, well, what are you going to do if for those who want to have guns but won't get or refuse to do universal background check? She goes, we're going to come get you.
Okay.
And she has her own YouTube channel now, the Tulsi Gabbard Show, and she has really turned around on gun rights.
She has
done a whole thing about, and I just can't. I when I hear her talk about how I used to think we needed universal background checks, but now it's come to a point where I've realized that people in government shouldn't be the ones deciding who can have and not have guns, and I've changed my position on that.
I don't like people who do that.
Change
their
mind?
I don't like people. I don't. Not when they're government people. Like, is she just like some kind of insider? Is she like an FBI plant? Is she being told to say stuff? Is
she could be.
Well, she did make the gun switch on her opinions on that right around, if I'm correct on this, right around the same time when she resigned as a Democrat.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, now I'm
so in other words, she doesn't have any principles at all. She's just parroting what she thinks people want to hear.
I think she's doing what she thinks is best for Tulsi. She thinks that you know, she's seen some support coming from people on the right or libertarians over the years or whatever, and she's pandering.
Even as a Democrat, though, she was really good. She was basically, you know, just exposing a lot that, you know, these wars aren't just. They're just about lining the pockets of the military-industrial complex. Mm-hmm. She basically sounded like a Ron Paul.
But at the same time, she wasn't. She was anti-war.
She sounded back when she was running like a classical Democrat would have, instead of the, like the new Marxist, more you know, commie Democrat.
Yeah, Democrats used to be anti-war at one time.
I mean, look, I'll accept it. If somebody wants to change their tune, people can change their mind.
Hard for you to believe it's genuine, though. Like,
I get it.
So.
But maybe Dave Ridley had an influence on her. It's possible. Is that what you were getting at?
I think he did, because I followed her pretty closely, and she didn't give that response anymore. It seemed to be kind of a point where she started sort of pivoting, and maybe it was because, you know, she also says, oh, when I was up there in New Hampshire, you know, like, there's tons of people open carrying. I saw lots of people with guns, and she's
so
like,
immersion could have been a factor.
She's like, there's like no crime in New Hampshire, you know, and I've heard her, you know, and because everybody who runs for president always has to talk about New Hampshire because, you know, it's the, you know, first place they go, and
that's going
to
change next year.
Okay, well, whatever. But
at least for the Democrats, they made a big change to their system where the Democrats are going to ignore New Hampshire's first in the nation primary. So it's still going to happen here, but anyone who actually runs as a Democrat in New Hampshire will be punished by the Democratic Party in some sort of way. So it's going to be interesting. I hope Furman Supreme runs as a Democrat again, and actually he will have a chance to win, because Joe Biden will not run in New Hampshire in 2024.
Why not?
They changed how they run things. They've been working on this for most of the last year. This is really crazy and interesting. Like, politics is normally pretty boring. This is an interesting little aspect of it, where the Democratic Party said, we don't think New Hampshire, because it's mostly white, is representative of the United States. And so it's unfair that New Hampshire has the first in the nation primary, because it sets a certain candidate on a track, right? Like, whoever wins the New Hampshire primary sort of gets some extra publicity, and they don't always end up winning.
Are they afraid they're going to lose? Are they afraid they're going to lose more often in New Hampshire nowadays?
No, it's just pandering. It's just saying, oh, well, we think South Carolina is more representative. There's more.
Is it less white than New Hampshire?
Correct. There's fewer, you know, percentage-wise, there are fewer white people in South Carolina.
If I were black, that would infuriate me. I would not want people pandering to me that way because of the color of my skin. That's awful. It's like, and it's all white people doing it. Like, all those.
I know. That's ridiculousness. Yeah.
Like, all those, all these, you know, culture warriors are all white. They're all old, you know, and the Democrats are even worse because they're old white people.
So they voted for, last year it was Joe Biden made this proposal that the Democratic Party will set their own schedule. So instead of relying on what the New Hampshire government says, because the New Hampshire government has I believe it's in the Constitution, if not it's a statute, there's something that says in the law somewhere that New Hampshire has to be the first primary in the nation. So if they convinced South Carolina to move up their primary to beat New Hampshire as far as early, being more early than New Hampshire would by law have to beat South Carolina. So New Hampshire would then move theirs to go ahead of South Carolina. It's been like that for 100 years in New Hampshire.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a great distraction because we have these electronic voting machines that nobody can look at the source code of because it's proprietary. The one that in my town's got a printout on it. I'm like, how come we can't program this machine to print out a receipt of who I voted for?
Wait, you guys have electronic voting machines there?
Yeah. Is electronic voting
machine. Are you talking about the machine that takes your ballot in at the end, or are you actually voting on an electronic machine?
Okay, it takes the ballot in and it scans.
Okay, that's the counting machine.
Counting machine. Yeah. So it's electronic counting machine. They're not hand counted.
Mm-hmm.
And then what it does is it prints out a tally at the very end when the guy pushes a button.
Right.
So why can't it just give me a receipt.
Yeah, it could.
It could if they wanted to. Yeah, yeah. But it's made that way. It's just programming. It's already got a printer on it.
Hmm.
But they don't want to do that. And all that, you know, all that programming on these, any kind of electronic counting machine, because it's not who cast a vote, it's who counts the vote that decides. There should be anybody should be able to look at that that source code, and you can't.
They should be able to. Yeah, you're right.
They should be able to. And, but they always want to distract with something else. There's like way more important issues than who's the first primary vote. Because as far as I'm concerned, we don't have any. There's no way to authenticate the actual count without people each individually having receipts or the source code to those machines being open and viewable, you know, like Linux source code would be, for example.
So one of the things that's not clear for 2024's presidential primary is, how will they punish the people who do run in the New Hampshire primary? Because what the Democratic Party can't do is prohibit people from running. So anybody who wants to can go pay, I don't know if it's $1,000 or whatever. In New Hampshire, it's usually pretty cheap, right? Like in New Hampshire, it's $100 to run for governor. It's $10 to run for state senator. It's $2 to run for state rep if you're running as a Republican or Democrat. So I don't know what the presidential filing fee is, but Vermin Supreme can afford it, so it's probably not that much. And so anyway, people can go down there to the Secretary of State's office, and they can put their name on the ballot for president in New Hampshire as long as they meet the qualifications. But the serious contenders will be informed by the Democratic National Committee that if you want to be serious about this, you will not go on the New Hampshire primary ballot, because New Hampshire will not move its primary because of what the Democratic Party wants, because the Republicans are in control of the New Hampshire State House. So there's just no chance that New Hampshire is going to allow its primary to go after South Carolina. So what's going to happen is the Republicans are going to do what they always do. All the big candidates are going to come to New Hampshire. They're going to do their usual primary, and it's going to happen, and it's going to be accepted. But the Democratic primary will be ignored by the Democratic National Committee. They are basically saying, if you're in New Hampshire and you're running as a presidential candidate, you are persona non grata. You do not count.
Why?
You will not win. And because they want to pander to South Carolina. They want to say, we are more inclusive. We believe that, people, non-white people of color, whatever the terminology is these days, are counted in the first primary. So they're acknowledging South Carolina as the first primary, and they're going to ignore the Iowa caucus, and they're going to ignore the New Hampshire primary.
They're so gross.
It's crazy. But what that's going to do is it's going to, I think, result in some of the most hardcore Democrats leaving New Hampshire. Because basically they have been slapped in the face by the Democratic Party. But they're not going to join the Republicans out of frustration, right?
I would even help hardcore Democrats leave New Hampshire. Right?
Progressive state project.
Yeah.
So I think this is ultimately going to be good for us, because those people who are so concerned with the national level Democratic Party goings on are going to have no voice. They have been told, you are not important enough, we're voting against you. Everyone, it was like an overwhelming vote against Iowa and New Hampshire. Only the reps from Iowa and New Hampshire voted to keep things the way they were, and it was like a sea of votes against them by the rest of the Democratic
Party. And, the frightening thing about them is that, I mean, the Republicans are guilty of it too, but the Democrats are, I think they're way worse, is how they just go with whatever the... like somebody
whatever
barks
the president.
An order.
This is whatever the president wanted. This was Biden. Biden
can't even like pour milk into his own cereal.
I can't believe people have Biden stickers on their cars still. And I see Biden, a couple of Biden signs here and there.
Yep.
And it's just like, oh,
like
man.
They're the same people wearing a mask in their car.
Yeah, and they're still there's a couple of Biden signs, and I've asked around town, who are these guys? And they're like, this guy's a professor at the college, and this other one works for the state. So they're parasite class people.
Sure.
And they're just, you know, the thing is with the parasite class, one of my relatives was very much in, she's retired now, but in the Massachusetts school system. And the biggest thing they were saying is that in order for her retirement to stay funded, there basically needs to be 3 to 5 people that replace her job. So if the retirement fund doesn't have 3 to 5 people per retiree funding the retirement fund, your retirement fund doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. The Ponzi scheme.
Right. Yeah. And she's like, well, it's not a Ponzi scheme because, you know, the state's doing it. So, and that was the answer. But anyways, the bottom line is these guys, you know, all these social workers, all these state employees, they really need to make sure the system stays afloat, the state stays afloat. They need to be sure that the U.S. dollar, because all of their wealth is backed in USD, essentially. So, like, the pension system could, you know, perform at its best, but when the dollar, you know, hyperinflates to, you know, we get to the point in this country where it costs you 50% of your income to feed your family, mm-hmm. like it does in everywhere else in the world where food isn't subsidized, is literally what it costs. I mean, can you imagine if you had to grow and trade with your neighbors to get most of your, you know, food? It's expensive. And, you know, this, like, you know, $30 for a 10-pound bag of, you know, whatever hamburger at Walmart, that mm-hmm. is all a government-subsidized food, you sure. know, thing that's, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars a year are poured into the beef subsidies. It works out to, like, almost $50 a pound, according to some figures a guy did that I know of, you know, just on the beef subsidy. But, like, it's crazy. You can't there's always, like, chicken for, you know, $2.99 a pound, and, like, I raise chickens. You know, that's just ridiculous. You can't sell it for $2.99 a pound. It's, you know, same thing. Why is there turkey for $1.99 a pound the week of Thanksgiving? And it's mm-hmm. all government-subsidized feed, government-subsidized mega farms where, you know, sicknesses happen. And to get the federal crop insurance and all this stuff to grow all this food, you have to do Monsanto growing practices, and you have to use Monsanto-certified seeds.
Of course.
And Monsanto-certified chemical fertilizers and herbicides and all that stuff.
Which, isn't that actual fascism?
Yes.
That is.
That's by definition. Like, yep. There's Democrats everywhere shouting fascism at Donald Trump mm-hmm. when actual fascism is part and parcel of the United States government all the time in that form. That's just one example.
Subsidies, yeah. Whatever they are. I mean, you know, like, milk should be $15 to $25 a gallon
wow.
in a store if you actually milk a cow. And you're paying $6 a gallon for diesel fuel. And you're paying mm-hmm. $25 to $40 an hour for farm help. Because the days of hiring somebody that can actually do something for $15, that it hasn't happened for a couple of years now around here. Like, everybody's
got to pay $25, $30
mm-hmm. and you're training them at $25 too.
Wow.
Yeah, what's McDonald's starting in Keene?
15?
15 in Keene?
Somewhere in that range, yeah.
The kid who works at the Hillsboro McDonald's, who changed the tires on my truck a few weeks ago, he quit. He was making just under $22 an hour. They offered him $25 an hour to stay.
He wouldn't stay.
He actually got a job for $2 an hour less across the street changing tires because he wanted to be a man and do a man's job.
Attaboy. We got more coming up here. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want. People are destroying banks in Nigeria. We'll tell you why on the way here. This is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Authorities in East Texas are in a standoff with an armed man outside of a hospital. KCEN-TV reporting officers are in the parking lot of the Limestone Medical Center in Grosbeck, where the man is threatening to kill himself. The outlet says the man was on trial today, drove to the hospital during the lunch break, told his attorney that he was suicidal. Former Vice President Mike Pence says he will fight a subpoena to testify before a grand jury investigating former President Trump's alleged attempt to overturn the 2020 election.
No vice president in American history has ever been summoned into court to testify about the president with whom they served.
Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown is calling on Governor Mike DeWine to declare the recent train derailment in East Palestine a disaster. He's concerned about the long-term health impacts on the residents. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. The phones are open. If you want to join the show, you can do that. The number is 603-283-6160. Ian, Jay, and Matt in the studio tonight. Thank you to Brian, who is a silver supporter of our AMPS program. Brian is contributing $5 a month to AMPS. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. Free Talk Live. It is a way for you to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live. Just talking about the ideas of liberty and freedom, cryptocurrency, peace, every single night, 7 nights a week on the radio, on about 180 broadcast radio stations around the United States. We're also, of course, online via online streaming, online video streaming, podcasts. We've got a satellite, couple satellite channels out there as well. So you can help us out. Just go to amps.freetalklive.com for $5 a month. You can join as well. You can do more if you feel so inspired. And you get some perks like access to the Amp Only podcast, which has the full radio show minus recorded commercials. So enjoy that. Go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's our Patreon, by the way. That's amps.freetalklive.com. I'm going to give you a little bit of audio here from, let's see, where is this? Benin City. Benin City in Nigeria. This is the scene outside of a bank building. The tension is mounting.
Becoming mountain.
People are carrying pipes.
The place is more. The place is getting more and more on delivery.
There are hundreds of people that are in the streets in Benin. This was posted yesterday by Vanguard Newspapers. some sort of firing going on. People start running in this particular clip. There are a bunch of videos that have come out from Nigeria over the last several days. And what is all this about? People are destroying the fronts of bank buildings. There's another video here of multiple men with large sticks, large metal sticks that are destroying ATM machines, automatic teller machines there in a bank. Just absolutely trashed. And again, a large crowd of people watching, lots of people getting video footage, something on fire in the background there. It is pretty crazy. So here's what's happened. And this has to do with the CBDC at some level, the central bank digital currency.
Oh.
But at another level, it has to do with the old style money, which they're trying to play a little game with, as we'll get into here in a moment. But central bank digital currencies are something that the United States government is considering experimenting with. They have an official, well, I guess they are experimenting with it now. They're considering actually implementing a central bank digital currency. They haven't officially made that a thing yet, but they're, you know, they're getting closer. And Nigeria is something that a lot of these countries are looking towards, as well as China, because Nigeria and China are two of the countries that have moved the fastest towards and actually releasing. Nigeria's came out, I think, last year, their CBDC. So it's there. It's a thing. For what I've read, only about 0.5% of the Nigerian people have bothered to adopt the central bank digital currency. And cash is king in Nigeria, and I think the number is 40%. Yeah, 40% of the population there do not have bank accounts at all. And so we get to the problem, and the problem is the people of Nigeria are now being told that they have to turn in all their old money and get new money. Now, they're not being forced into the CBDC just yet. That's not what's happening here. CBDC's out there. It's like they're trying to incentivize people to use the CBDC, but it's not a you must move to the CBDC. So why are they doing this? Why are they changing out the money? When I first saw the story, I thought it was going to be something like you would see in Venezuela, where they've actually redenominated the currencies multiple times, where in Venezuela they would knock zeros off of the currency. At one time in the aughts, it was 3 zeros.
Right.
It was 5 zeros later on. It was 6 zeros, I think, the last time they did it. They would just, you know, you would take a million bolivar bill and knock 5 zeros off of that thing, and it becomes a smaller bill. And so that's what they, I thought they were doing here, but no, they're actually keeping the bills the same denomination. So they're not re-denominating. They just did a redesign. And I'll get into that here. So BBC reporting Simi Jolaso from Lagos in Nigeria, they say that this was filed 2 days ago. People in Nigeria have taken to sleeping outside of banks. They want to be among the first in line to get notes from the cash machine once it's loaded up in the morning. And there's video out there of people at, like, a huge line of people outside of a bank at 5 in the morning. A lack of newly designed Naira notes, that's the country's currency, the Nigerian Naira, has led to a cash shortage and a growing sense of anxiety among those desperate to get a hold of their money in a country where 40% of the population don't have bank accounts. Supreme Court has become involved and has ordered the deadline to hand in old notes be extended, but this has made little difference. People here have been long used to the periodic bouts of fuel shortages, leading to long lines of cars snaking from the petrol stations. But now, long lines of frustrated, confused, and angry people have become a common sight outside of banks as the country builds up to a presidential election coming up at the end of this month. Abraham Osundrian, age 36, stood in one of two queues at a bank, said, "I have not eaten today," in the main hub of Lagos. He had to miss work at his construction company for a second day because he doesn't have the cash to pay the taxi to get him there. Some Nigerians have embraced digital payments, but many still rely heavily on cash. He says, "I don't have any cash. I've had to skip breakfast so I could come here, and I don't know what I will eat for the rest of the day." It's a situation similar for many others. One lady who is a hairdresser, 26 years old, she says, "It's painful. I can't go to the market because they want cash. Buses want cash. Now I have to trek everywhere," she says from her salon. "There's no money to buy stock, so I have fewer products to sell. There are even fewer customers. Usually on a Saturday, I have a minimum of 5. Last Saturday, she had only 2 because they don't have access to cash either with which to pay. Nigerians were told last October that the old notes were being replaced with new notes, and they were encouraged to deposit any cash savings in the bank. So they're telling people who don't have bank accounts that they need to go and get a bank account or use their bank account to take all their cash from under their mattress or whatever it is that they were storing it and put it into the bank. According to a lady who works in telesales, Osirinoma Kolawe, she says, they made us put all our money into our accounts, and now we can't access it. It's unbearable, they said. She said.
You know, I remember in the very early days of Bitcoin when we were talking, you know, I remember asking somebody, what's the purpose of this? And one of the first things somebody came back to me with was, just think of the implications of this. We could bank the unbanked.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that came up was Africa.
Absolutely. And there's been huge adoption of Bitcoin in Nigeria, by the way. Their local Bitcoins, the site that we talked about last week, they're going out of business, but they've been around for a decade, and they would release, you know, every month or whatever, they had statistics about what areas of the world are the highest usage as far as the local Bitcoins website. And Nigeria was number one, has been number one for some time. So there's a large awareness of cryptocurrency in Nigeria. Venezuela also very high up there.
About a year ago, I don't know if you guys know who Max Kaiser is.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that name in a while.
I haven't seen anything from him in a while. But he said, he goes, there's going to be a flippening, and Bitcoin's going to make it happen. And he's like, look at all these Bitcoin transactions happening in Nigeria. He's like, you watch the... I don't know. He was saying in several years, the poorest one of the poorest country in the world, Nigeria, because the people are holding so much Bitcoin, is going to be one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Versus like the wealthiest countries in the world today will be some of the poorest countries. And if you look at the United States, and you, I think it's called an M6 report, which is like all the debt that's owed to the Federal Reserve. You know, 15 years ago was like $1.6 quadrillion. If you took the debt of the United States, which right now is $30 trillion, but then the debt of each state, the debt of each municipal corporation, the city, town, village, all of these entities that are...
That's a lot. Yeah,
it was $1.6 quadrillion like 15 years ago. The U.S. has more debt than probably anyone else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, yeah, I live in a big mansion, but, you know, it's got a massive debt on it versus my shack just paid for it. Which one would you rather have, you know?
Yeah, there's massive debt. I think the personal debt in the U.S. is like $15 trillion or something like that the last time I saw it. It's tremendous, and it's always, you know, reaching new levels. That might just be credit card debt. I don't know.
And there's a whole bunch of young people that are like, I can't ever own a house. That's out of my grasp. Mm-hmm. I have no intentions. I'm not going to own a house. Well, why would I do that, you know? And that's where most people's wealth historically has been, is in their homes, and young people don't even want to own homes anymore.
Well, and this is a perfect example of how people shouldn't ever trust the banks, right? Like, the banks are not a place for safety. That's what they were pitched as. They were pitched as, oh, yeah, you need a safe place to put your money. We got a vault. We got armed guards. You know, we're all set. Come on in. Bring them in. We'll loan out your money. We'll pay you a fee. You'll get an APR out of that. And, of course, now they don't pay jack diddly for fees anymore, so there's not really any reason to do it for that reason.
When you have all this artificial money being printed out of thin air, I mean, the interest rates are artificially low. I mean, interest rates, you know, should be whatever the market would bear them, which would
right.
be, you know, whatever somebody who has money to lend would want, and it's not.
Yeah, it might be 10%,
15%. Yeah, I'm thinking it's like, you know, in the teens to the low 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had, you know, 18% or 24% interest rate on mortgages, you would have realistic house prices, and you would probably put 50 to 60% down on a house.
Mm-hmm.
Where now the house's pricing is just unrealistic because of all the fake money that's available to Vanguard and BlackRock, who are buying up all these communities for, you know, 20 to 30 or 50% over asking even.
One of the ladies in Nigeria said, the last time I went to the shops, I had to buy eggs instead of fish. That really hurt me, not the food, but having to buy what I didn't want just because the banks won't let me get my money. The Central Bank of Nigeria, CBN, said it redesigned the higher denomination notes, the 200, the 500, and 1,000 naira. And by the way, That does not translate to a lot of dollars. I don't think they're showing it in this article, but if I recall correctly, the I don't know if it was the 200 note, it was like 40 cents worth or something like that. So this is this is not a lot of quote-unquote money for these notes, but those are the higher denomination notes.
And I'm sure Nigeria is a place where the average family is spending most of their income just on calories, to where in America it's like 5% of your income is spent on your food.
Is that right? These days, even these days?
Yep. Huh. Or it's a little higher, but you know, you can still go into, you just walk around a grocery store, all the stuff is like so cheap compared to what it actually costs to make it, but it's all the government subsidized food.
Yeah, so I just did a check over at XE.com, which has a currency converter. 1,000 naira, which is the largest size note, is only $2.17.
Wow.
In U.S. dollars.
Wow, you need to stack a lot of those to
yeah
pay for stuff.
So what they're doing is they've redesigned the 200, the 500, and the 1,000 naira notes to replace what they say is dirty cash in circulation to, quote-unquote, tackle inflation. Well, that's not going to do anything to affect inflation. If you're just replacing the notes with the
newer notes, same denominations.
The same denominations, it's not going to do anything there. We know that inflation is increasing the money supply, which I'm sure they're doing, but that this has nothing to do with fighting it.
They're just doing this to get people into the system that aren't. They're forcing them into banks.
Exactly.
I've never had. I've been on bank my whole life. I'm 43 years old. Never had a bank account.
Curb counterfeiting. I guess you could argue that they've, and, you know, maybe there's some new anti-counterfeiting features in the new
bills.
Really
going to counterfeit a $2 bill? That's a lot of effort, you know.
Yeah. And the big one here, promote a cashless society.
Oh, here we go then.
So they want it to be that, see, people, doing cash is just such a hassle. Look at all these difficulties that you've got. You got to go to the bank. You got to exchange the old bills for the new bills. Boy, cash sure is a hassle. You know, we've got the CBDC over here, the central bank digital currency, that all you have to do is sign up. And by the way, there's plenty of people, if you watch these videos of the people destroying the banks, there's a ton of people with phones, right? Like, they have... One of the things that's been true about a lot of Africa over the last two decades is the cell phone companies don't have any real regulation. So they're putting up cell phone towers everywhere. There's plenty of cell phone coverage in these countries. And so they have, I mean, there's a ton of people with smartphones over there. They can absolutely have cryptocurrency wallets on those phones. And the downside, of course, is they can also have the CBDC app or whatever that thing is.
You know, at least if government's going to bring out the CBDCs, they're going to have to compete. Like, it's not, you know, in any other existence, they could have just come out with that a long time ago before cryptocurrency was ever a thing, and they would have had the market on it, but they were late to market. And now they're going to have to compete. And the genie of cryptocurrency is not going back in the bottle, and they will always have to compete. So I suspect, you know, the next step would be declaring anyone who's not using the CBDC a terrorist.
So the people who have been practicing using cryptocurrency have been practicing trading, you know, doing any kind of barter, silver, gold backs.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't use Amazon until
crypto,
purse.io.
Yeah,
that's when I started.
It's an amazing
using
tool. You can go to saveitpurse.com, by the way, and then Free Talk Live get a small percentage of the purchase.
And then they've opened up so you can use Bitcoin Cash now, and which is, you know, better for small transactions. when I was down in Tucson, Arizona, on a little vacation, and I went to a couple farmers markets, and I walk around the farmers market, and I'm like, take Bitcoin, and who takes Bitcoin here? I'm going to buy something off if you take Bitcoin. Oh, I got some silver. I didn't have any half-ounce silver with me. I only had 1 ounce, but I brought 100 gold backs with me.
Nice.
And so a whole bunch of people were like, you got gold? Really? You got $4 worth of gold? And I'm like, well, it's 1/1,000th of an ounce, and we've been trading these at $4 in New Hampshire. It's about $1.90 melt value. But they're like, oh, I'll trade you at $4. And so I bought all kinds of stuff with gold backs. I tried making one girl did take Bitcoin. She said she had a Bitcoin thing, but it,
which farmer's market was this? Where?
This is the Oro Valley Farmer's Market.
Oh, in Arizona. Okay.
A steam pump ranch. is nice. Where they have it at, and because it was a guy who made a steam pump.
You know what oro is?
No.
That's Spanish for gold.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's all gold mine stuff all around there. Okay, yep. Yeah, that makes sense.
Appropriate that they could appreciate it. There,
yep, so. Yep. So I didn't realize that oro was gold. But anyways, so as soon as I said goldbacks, almost all the people who could actually make a decision, because what I found out is about half the people at the farmer's market, they're like, you know, they're just there, you know, working for their boss. They're not interested.
They can't decide.
They don't even care.
They don't know.
They just want to look at their phone, leave me alone, or buy something.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you got to talk to the owner.
Yeah, and then one guy, we bought some chili or something that I wasn't even really that interested in. But he's like, oh, I'll definitely take those gold backs, and I'm just going to give my boss the cash.
Oh, nice.
Because he wanted them. And yeah, the gold backs was really a big hit, and it was
they are awesome.
And as soon as they say gold, people are like, really, gold?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, silver, whatever. Gold, you can actually buy, you know, you can buy eggs with gold. Yes, you can in gold backs. And you couldn't ever do that kind of transaction until the gold back existed.
It's true. It's an amazing technology, and we're huge fans of it here. And it also crosses international boundaries as well. I haven't had the chance to travel internationally since the goldback came out, but whenever Bonnie and I are at some, you know, foreign restaurant or whatever, we love to tip with goldbacks. And we add it to the tip, right? So it's like you give a good cash tip, and then I always like to say, hey, do you like gold? And the reactions are always even more, like, intense from somebody who's from Mexico, or we were just at the Japanese restaurant here in town, and they just – everybody gets it. You know, everyone understands gold.
So what's a 1/1000th of an ounce of gold worth in trading value in
Nigeria Naira?
Right now?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Or silver, or like, is there anybody on the ground that
it'd be like 2,000 Naira, I guess.
I mean, there's got to be shops and merchants and people trading in Bitcoin, since all this Bitcoin and crypto transactions are happening on these maps in Nigeria. So I would imagine those people this is why we have to practice doing Bitcoin transactions. This is why we have to practice trading our services, trading, you know, whatever. You know, if you're you're a carpenter, trade your carpenter to your guy you buy beef from. And actually, that's what a currency that I use the most is meat. I trade
everybody's
all kinds of people,
eat.
Pork and beef and chicken for all kinds of services, babysitting, working, you know, whatever. Like, I had some guys go haul some grain for me the other day, and I paid them in meat. Yeah, it's great.
So more about what's going on. So they're switching out the Naira, the highest bill denominations, 200, 500, 1,000. They say that the Central Bank of Nigeria says they hope the redesign would bring some of the money being hoarded by individuals and companies back into the financial system. So again, a lot of people don't have bank accounts. They got plenty of cash, maybe, that they've been storing for however many years. Now they're being told that the cash will no longer spend. So the cash that you were holding on to is now no longer going to be useful, and apparently some places are no longer accepting it, even though they, in theory, could. But why would they want to accept it? Because then they have to go and exchange it at the bank, and there's lines a mile long, and you can only exchange so much because the banks, as you find out here, I think, in the story, there's not enough of the new bills. So, like, the banks don't have enough to satisfy people.
So I wonder what the black market exchange rate is like, you know, back alley deals on getting this new money for the old money, because maybe it'd be worthwhile to just pay that premium, whatever it is. First off, not to stand in line.
Yeah, good question.
And second, not to be, you know, in a database.
The reform has created something like a cashless society, says the BBC, but not in the way the central bank had planned. People have been finding it difficult to make online payments and transfers. Analysts say the infrastructure to support a digital system isn't robust enough. Quote, the whole idea was to limit how much cash people have access to in order to encourage them to make digital payments so the CBN, the central bank, can monitor where the money goes, said a senior economist.
So they're flat out saying that they're trying to monitor where money's coming from and going to on every transaction.
That's the reason for the CBDC.
They're saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. Nigerian banks, though, don't have the capacity or structure to make digital payments work seamlessly. Central Bank has not said whether the shortages are deliberate. Quote, the government has been trying to move the country into a cashless economy for ages, said a policy analyst, Yemi Makinde. He says its intention is good. I don't know if I believe that. But it's just not feasible. The banking systems were not ready, and Nigeria is just used to cash. When announcing the redesign, the central bank said the new notes would begin circulating December 15th, and old notes would cease to be legal tender at the end of January. The bank then extended the deadline to last Friday, but the Supreme Court stepped in and suspended that deadline, but the lines outside of the banks remain. Quote, the only way this judgment would work is to release old notes back into the system to meet the shortage, but doing that will only take us back to square one. So they are in a mess of a situation.
All of that is proof that government should never be put in charge of money or anything else.
Yeah, people are literally going to go hungry as a result of this, and from what it sounds like, already are.
At least they're attacking the proper institutions to where in American cities
they would just burn everything down.
You have a bunch of FBI agents that each go round themselves up a couple dozen, brain dead NPCs and tell them to go, just set
AutoZone on fire.
To places that have nothing to do with oppressing you.
Well, some people believed it was the actual police that were setting places on fire.
Well, there was one actual cop that got recognized, and he was a
Minneapolis
St. Paul cop that got nailed in Minneapolis AutoZone throwing a ball.
And his ex-girlfriend recognized his gate.
Yeah, she busted, right, that's right. He recognized his gate, that's right.
She was probably a massage therapist, because my wife can just recognize people by them just walking.
Right.
Seeing their shadow.
Many have blamed individual bank branches. Firstly, they were still giving out the old notes rather than the new ones, even up to the week of the initial deadline, thereby keeping them in circulation. Secondly, agents from the country's anti-fraud body, the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, raided some bank branches and arrested managers who were accused of hoarding the new notes in vaults rather than putting them in cash machines and giving them to customers. Quote, the banks aren't doing a good job at distributing the money. Bank managers have been keeping a lot of it aside for people with connections and for the rich, misusing the central bank policy. As a consequence, the lack of new Naira notes has hit those who primarily deal with cash day-to-day, like market sellers and hawkers. Well, don't you worry. The president has stepped into the situation, and he is going to make everything better.
Oh, by magic.
Right before the election, which is coming up in apparently 9 days in Nigeria. But we'll tell you exactly what his solution is coming up here, and we'll share that with you on the way here. This is Free Talk Live. Hour number 3 is coming up.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.